Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might love, and our hands that we might serve. And take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. There's a story that is told of a little girl who asks a boy, "Are you a Presbyterian?" He answers, "No, we belong to another abomination." That's a great starting point for appreciating today's gospel and how Moses and Paul might comment on it. The woman only came for water, but the meeting with Christ changed her life forever. Surprises, or let's call them moments of grace, have a way of happening just at the right time. The significant moments in our lives, both good and bad, are moments of grace. We should see them not as accidents or mere coincidences, but as gifts. God intervenes in our lives when we least expect it. We must be awake to these moments and take advantage of them when they occur. Why is it during Lent we seem to be more awake to these moments than at other times in our life? Lent seems to be a time of remembering where our faith began. We try to get back in touch with our roots. We remember past Lents, possibly even going back to when we were children, the candy we gave up and the baskets of candy we devoured on Easter morning, a time certainly more simple than today. As we grow older, our lives become more complicated. The world and all its distractions draw us in. Today's Exodus passage is one of a series of what you might call murmuring stories. They not only emphasize the distrust of the people, they also stress God's prevailing care of them. The place in the desert where the grumbling took place was Massah, which means testing, and Meribah, which means dissatisfaction. At one time or another, we find ourselves in our own Massah and Meribah. It's when life presses down on us from many sides. We learn from Exodus how patient God is with us. We may have forgotten God's goodness in us in the past, so we find our faith trembles with fear and doubt. The reading ends with an important question asked of the people of Israel. Is the Lord among us or not? It's a question we can certainly ask ourselves today. We seem to live in a world gone crazy, crazy with greed and human violence, a world that seems to have turned its back on God, a world that makes up its own rules, a world that can accept immorality as long as our economy is moving in a positive direction. I'm not sure where our values have gone. Where and who are our Moseses today? Can we find someone to lead us to the rock that provides us the water that we need? We need to be ready to either be that Moses to those in need or follow and listen to the Moseses that cross our path. We need to be ready to change direction and look and listen for the presence of God in our lives. The beauty is that he comes to us in such ordinary ways, in chance encounters when we least expect it. We find him in those that ask us questions that promote a change of direction. We find him in someone that needs our help. We find him in the poor and the homeless. We find them in the grieving. We find him in someone who listens to our needs. We find him in someone that gives us their love. She came looking only for water, where she had come many times before. Her days were ordinary. She knew her place in this small Samaritan village. Unwelcomed in the company of other women, she would come to the well alone in the heat of the day. What she could not have known was by the end of that day, her life would never be the same. She was gutsier than the image we have of first century women. One might guess that she had nothing to lose as we hear her question, challenge, and even argue with Jesus. And when she finds him, what she finds in him is wisdom together with compassion. When she finds it, she races to the townsfolk, the very ones who have rejected her, and proclaims, "Come and see someone who told me everything I ever did." Many came to believe because of her. Was it because Jesus somehow knew her secret past? That doesn't seem likely. Everyone knew. Perhaps it was because of her joy, a joy that prompted her to be generous to the very people that rejected her. There is joy in being known and still loved. Where do we go to be known and recognized? To whom do we risk showing our true values? Who will forgive our petty infractions, our selfish failures, our secret sins? We all search for that special place, that place where we feel welcome, that place where people know our names and give us their love. My wife Angie and I have found it, and I believe that those of you who are here this morning have also found it. We are all part of a faith community that reminds us of what we may have forgotten. They inspire us with their enthusiasm for the Word and their desire just to be one with us, this community of faith. They notice when we come, and they miss us when we are absent. Most of us have come here from other faith communities. Some of us spend just 3 or 4 months a year together. And sorry to say, we'll be saying goodbye to our winter friends very soon. But we know they will come back and be part of our lives again. And like the woman at the well, we minister to each other. And in the process, we find a deeper and stronger faith. As we approach this halfway point of our Lenten journey, we need to pay better attention to those who are wandering through their own personal deserts. Why not share with them, as the woman did, the difference the living waters have made in our lives? You say, "I'm not an evangelist." Neither was the Samaritan woman until Jesus put aside her past and renewed her life with life-giving waters, just as he has done for all of us. She spoke of the gift that she had received, which is what we are asked to do as well. We must try to remember that we are the face, the hands, and the heart of Christ in our world. We each in our own way show each other what is precious and how to love and how to live the message of the gospel. Like the Samaritan woman, it is our responsibility to share our special place with all those that cross our path. Isn't that why we are here today? I'd like to end this reflection with Paul's word in our second reading, Paul's words of hope. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to the grace which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. As we come to Eucharist this morning, let us pray that we can take that love and hope we have found within these walls and share it with those outside these walls. Amen.